And thank you for joining us here on a new episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. While the federal appropriations process could pave the way for other pieces of legislation of importance, like the Farm Bill, Representative Frank Lucas, an Oklahoma Republican and former House Ag Chairman, explains.
There are so many things like the Farm Bill, reauthorizing the Weather Act, NDAA, the National Defense Reauthorization Act. There's so many pieces of legislation that have to have spending allocation numbers to be written. Chairman G.T. Thompson of the Ag Committee is ready to go. He is ready to go with a markup, but we have to know where we are financially.
There are changes that Lucas says producers would like to see in the Farm Bill.
Many of my producers in a variety of crops would like to make adjustments for reference prices. Think about the inflation since 2018. Think about the trade war effect on our producers. Think about the COVID effect on our producers. The safety net, no matter how well structured it was in the 2018 Farm Bill, does not reflect the cost of inputs right now or what it's done to most of the grain commodity prices. We need some extra money.
The question becomes, is there enough time to complete the Farm Bill?
Bear in mind, we're not rewriting the Farm Bill as we did in 2012 and 13 and 14. It's a tweaking. We can do that. We just need some money so we can address reference prices and some of those issues. And if we get our work done in the House, or when we get our work done in the House, I think that will motivate the United States Senate. They just need to pass something, and then we'll take a House pass bill, and whatever they pass, we'll go to a conference committee. We'll do it the way historically legislation has always been put together, especially farm bills, and we'll work out our differences.
And despite the challenges, Lucas says he feels like there could be a 2024 farm bill.
Absolutely. You've got a situation where you have an incumbent president running for re-election. I've never known an incumbent president who didn't have the biggest ceremony imaginable when they were signing a farm bill. We get it to the White House, it'll be signed. Chairwoman Stabenow, she's not running for re-election. She's vacating her seat. So this is her legacy bill. In the House, we just know that the farm bill has to be brought up to date to reflect what producers are dealing with. And that gives us a huge incentive. So everybody has a very enlightened self-interest.
That's Oklahoma Representative Frank Lucas. Well, the USDA spending bill President Biden just signed for the rest of this fiscal year limits the Ag Secretary's discretion in spending funds from the Commodity Credit Corporation, USDA's financing institution. The Ag spending bill requires the Secretary to give Congress 15 days notice and spending details before transferring $100 million or more from the CCC. The provision is based on the earlier USDA Spending Accountability Act, led by Republican Senators Roger Marshall, Mike Braun, and Chuck Grassley.
We should not have a slush fund that is outside of the appropriation process that doesn't give Congress control of the purse strings.
Republicans charge the CCC has been used for politically driven pet projects, but Secretary Tom Vilsack sees it differently.
The ARC payments and the PLC payments and the CRP payments all come from the Commodity Credit Corporation, so they've done it in the past.
Citing legitimate CCC use to fund farm bills, and Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow pointed to Vilsack's earlier okay of a bipartisan request to use CCC funds for trade promotion.
A large part of that is already the way we fund the farm bill. So it's not that there's 30 billion additional.
And the earlier GOP bill would use half of its $8 billion estimated 10-year savings for market development and research, the other half for deficit reduction. But Republicans criticize the CCC's use for climate programs and other Democratic priorities and say even the Government Accountability Office has ruled USDA should have asked Congress first. Well, the United States Cattlemen's Association calls USDA's final voluntary product of USA rule a victory. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack announced the rule on Monday during the National Farmers Union annual convention. USCA has worked tirelessly to clarify years of confusion at the consumer level regarding the labeling of U.S. beef products. Starting in 2017, USCA's Director Emeritus Leo McDonnell led a nationwide fundraising effort of cattle producers nationwide that initiated federal rulemaking to close the loophole created by the 2015 repeal of mandatory country of origin labeling. Now, the final rule announced here this week follows a request made by the USCA in a petition for rulemaking submitted to USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service in 2019. McDonald stated, quote, "This announcement takes the necessary steps to bring back truth in labeling," end quote. And USCA President Justin Tupper added, quote, USCA is thrilled that the final rule finally closes this loophole by accurately defining what these voluntary origin claims mean, end quote. Well, key deadlines coming up on Friday for crop insurance sales for the spring. Tom Zacharias, president of National Crop Insurance Services, encourages all farmers, whether new to crop insurance or returning policyholders, to meet with their crop insurance agent as a first step and review all options for insuring their crops in their specific farm locations.
Farming comes with a multitude of risks, from unpredictable weather events and natural disasters to financial losses and crop price declines. This is why crop insurance exists. Crop insurance serves as the essential risk management tool designed to provide timely financial assistance to farmers when they need it the most. To keep up with the evolving needs of agriculture and farming, the crop insurance program is constantly improving and expanding, which is why we always encourage farmers to speak with a trained and licensed crop insurance agent before the crop insurance sales closing deadline.
Well, agents also help farmers navigate the multitude of crop insurance options, policies, and products available to develop a personalized risk management plan.
There is literally a myriad of crop insurance options, policies, and products for farmers to choose from, including endorsements like the Enhanced Coverage Option, or ECO, or the Supplemental Coverage Option, SCO, or Stacked Income Protection, STACs, for cotton farmers. There are other options for specific areas as well, such as the Tropical Storm Endorsement that is part of the Hurricane Insurance Protection Plan for farmers in the East Coast and along the Gulf Coast.
And Zacharias says farmers should also discuss changes in their operation from the prior year.
Whether farmers are returning policyholders or new to crop insurance, an agent will be able to sit down with them to review all the options for insuring their crops for their individual operations. Starting with the basics, farmers need to make sure their policy is up to date. Have there been changes in the operation? Is all the underlying paperwork in order? Agents can then help farmers determine which risk management tools best fit their operations needs.
Well, this past year, America's crop insurers worked in partnership with USDA to provide insurance coverage on a record 540 million acres, protecting almost $200 billion of crops and livestock on farms of all shapes and sizes. Local crop insurance agents, adjusters, and companies stand ready to quickly provide a helping hand to America's farmers and ranchers when it's needed. And again, deadlines coming up for ARC and PLC elections on Friday. You can get more details at your local USDA service center. That's going to do it for this episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your day.